We're moving about 100 years into the future from where we were last week with the prophet Elijah during Queen Jezebel and King Ahab's reign. Still thinking about the kingdoms of Israel and God's interactions with the people. And today, the prophet Hosea is a prophet that ministered and spoke God's word to God's people up in the northern kingdom of Israel, and then the southern kingdom. They're still divided. The southern kingdom, Judah, is down in the south. And in the book of Hosea, as you read, you will hear condemnation again and again and again. But through God's condemnation of these horribly behaving people, there is this beautiful thread of God's love. Listen to these words. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went away from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst. And I will not come in wrath. I'd like you to look at a short video clip. Eric's going to play it for you. It's got subtitles, though, so you might need to move closer or you just need to keep your concentration on the screen. They're short, so there's not a lot of reading, but it'll help to understand if you can read.
Τι είναι αυτό? Ένα σφουρίδι. Τι είναι αυτό?
Μόλις τώρα στο παπατέρα σφουρίδι είναι. Ένα σπουργίτι είναι, πατέρα. Ένα σπουργίτι. Σπου-γι-τι!
Τι είναι αυτό?
Γιατί το κάνεις αυτό το πράγμα, μπορείς να πεις τόσες φορές, σου είπα. Είναι ένα σπουργίτι. Δεν το καταλαβαίνεις. Πού πας?
Δυνατά.
Σήμερα ο μικρός μου γιος που πριν λίγες μέρες έκλεισε τα 3 καθόταν μαζί μου έξω στο πάρκο όταν ένα σπουργίτη ήρθε και κάθισε απέναντί μας. Ο γιος μου με ρώτησε 21 φορές τι ήταν αυτό. Και το απάντησα και τις 21 φορές ότι ήταν... ένα σπουργίτη. Τον αγκάλιασα τρυφερά και τις 21 φορές που μου έκανε την ίδια ερώτηση, ξανά και ξανά, χωρίς να εκνευριστώ, νιώθοντας στοργή για το αθώο μου αγοράκι.
Nothing like a father's love, is there? Parental love is so multifaceted. It wants to teach and correct. It wants to embrace. It strives for endless patience. And it endures so much over the course of a lifetime of parenting. Perhaps that's why Hosea uses the image of a parent to help us understand how God feels about us. There is no bond closer for the human than the bond between a parent and a child. That's how intimately that God is connected to us. Like a parent loves a child, that's how God loves us. We who are God's beloved are embedded in God's heart. Call to mind, if you can for just a moment, an image of a mother nursing a newborn, or parents swaddling and cuddling and nurturing a baby. And listen again to these words that God speaks about God's people. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. God remembers the cry of the people and how God called the people to himself. I took them up in my arms. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. Have you ever imagined God holding you so close that God could feel the skin of your soft cheek? I bent down to them, God says, and fed them. That's how God feels about God's people. That's how God feels about us. But as Hosea tells the story, nothing has changed in how the people are behaving, not for 100 years. Remember, Elijah was trying to turn the people away from their worship of Baal by showing them how ridiculous worshiping Baal or other idols was. But the kingdoms are still divided. People are still behaving as awfully then as they were, or awfully now as they were then. The kingdoms are in kind of a spiral. They've lost the strength of their unity, and now they're grasping at anything to get one up. As their political powers are waning in the world, they don't turn back to God for strength. No, what do? They turn to Assyria, a more powerful kingdom to the north. They turn to Egypt, a more powerful kingdom to the south. They're looking to anyone except God for help. And they're paying huge tributes for the help that they get from Assyria and Egypt. The kingdoms are turning bloody as the threats from outside of their boundaries start to mount. Jeroboam II is the last king in the north who had a peaceable reign, and now that he has died, the kingdom is really falling apart. In quick succession, four kings are murdered as they sit on the throne. God longs for his people to turn back to him for leadership, but instead of returning to God, they go farther and farther afield, almost like our dog Willie, running and running and running the other way when we're calling him to come back to the source of the food. God's heart aches because they are ignoring God and all that God can provide for them. If you've ever worried about the well-being of one of your children or a niece or a nephew, you know in some small part what God is feeling for his people in this story that Hosea unfolds for us. If you can imagine what a parent feels when a child gets caught up in the wrong crowd and starts making bad choices, starts cutting maybe, or using, or runs away, gets caught up maybe in illegal or dangerous behaviors, starts stealing maybe from her own parents to fund her drug habit, or when a parent's child takes up guns or straps on bombs to kill innocent people, then you might have a sense of how God suffered when God's beloved Israel turned away and totally rejected or simply forgot how much God loved and provided for them. The more I called them, God said, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king because they have refused to return to me. God can see the trajectory that the people are on. It's not leading to anywhere good. God can see that as they turn more and more to those powerful kingdoms around them, they will be swallowed up and enslaved again by other kingdoms. The sword ravages in their cities, God says, and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me, though God is the one who loved them, who provided for them, who rescued them in the past. They don't remember. They don't want to remember. They forget. They want to think that they're in charge. They turn to other gods. They worship the Baals. They disregard all of God's teaching. Their wickedness is astronomically astounding. The more prosperous they become, the less and less they think of God, and the more they worship gods of their own making, fashioning idols out of the very gifts that God has given them. They aren't living as God intended for them to. The wealthy are oppressing the poor. Even the priests are failing in their responsibility to teach the people about God, and God is outraged. There's nothing that can make a parent angrier than when one of her children is cruel to another one of her children. God won't, God cannot stand for that. And yet, God loves the people so much that God cannot execute God's justice against them. How can I make you like Adma? How can I treat you like Zeboim? Those are cities that were destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. Even as God's rage stirs in him, God's heart recoils from the anger that God is feeling. And God's compassion instead grows warm and tender. God remembers, finally, who God is. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal. Mortal parents can crumble when their children reject them and the values that they stand for. Even here in White Bear Lake, we are hearing that there are over 100 homeless youth whose parents can no longer care for them. So they are out on the street. But God is not human. God is a God of love and cannot do other than love even these recalcitrant children. In the end of Hosea's telling of the story, it's not the people who repent. It's God who repents. God turns away from God's righteous anger and turns back to the people. God chooses the path of love, not the path of destruction. As the book of Hosea ends, God remains with the people, the Holy One in our midst, calling us back and making astonishing promises to us. I will heal your disloyalty. I will love you freely, for my anger has turned from you. I will be like the dew to you. You shall flourish as a garden. You shall blossom like the vine. O people, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. Your faithfulness comes from me. So in the end, though the love of a human parent gives us insight into the love that God has for us, our God is so much more than human. Thanks be to God.